It's hard to account for the numbers. Economics, drugs, heat, full moons, whatever. Hertz's squad has investigated 3 people shot to death in a fast food restaurant during a Saturday morning robbery, a high-profile divorce lawyer murdered a few steps from his office elevator, a rock and roll singer beaten to death because he was gay. More than a dozen times the victim was either the buyer or seller of drugs when things went wrong. There have been the quiet cases that rated only a few paragraphs in the newspapers, and the big cases that drew the TV trucks with the microwave dishes. It all adds up to 37 times in 6 months that the squad has assembled at a scene that defied common sensibilities, the Norman Rockwell portrait of life. And now it's time to gather again. Number 38, Walter Moody, lies cold in bed, his blood 4 days old on the sheets and pillows, waiting for the homicide squad. "Smell that?" says George Hurt. "They just rolled the body over in there." Captain Al Van Zandt, a supervisor of the detective division, puffs on his cigar so the smell of tobacco will overcome the sickly smell of death. The two of them are standing outside the door to Walter Moody's apartment. Hurt didn't have to be inside to know what the smell is. He has had years of experience with it. Going back to his stint as head of the department's forensic unit before coming to homicide, and even back 20 years to Vietnam. He says that it seems much of his life has been spent rolling bodies over. This time, he stays mostly outside the apartment with Van Zandt, content to let the forensic investigators and the assistant medical examiner do the work inside. There are 5 homicide detectives working the first hours of the Walter Moody case. One of the first to arrive was Phil Mundy, the squad's senior detective. But after surveying the murder scene and discerning that it was a whodunit, as opposed to a smoking gun case, Mundy returned to the bureau to run record searches on Moody and to coordinate requests that would come from detectives at the scene. His partner, Pete Melwood, is still at the apartment building questioning tenants. So are detectives Mike Wally, Gary Ciani, and Vicky Russo. Russo's partner, Kevin Allen, is on the way, called in from a day off. When was Walter last seen? Who were his friends? Who were his enemies? These are the questions the detectives are asking. In the early stages of a case, information is the only available tool. There's a basic rule to murder investigation. As more time elapses in a case, the chances of solving it grow slimmer. So whenever possible, depending on constrictions of time, the overtime budget, fatigue, and so on, Hurt puts all available hands on the initial stages of a case. "It's called trying to figure out what is what and going from there," he says. The squad has a rotation system for assigning cases to lead detectives. This time, partners Russo and Allen are up. They'll be responsible for the case from start to finish. If it's not solved by the group effort in the next few hours, it will be theirs to work alone. "I haven't had a smoking gun yet this year," Russo says as she starts compiling information in a notebook. "For once, I'd like a gimme. To come in, and there would be a victim, and over there would be the suspect." But it hasn't been that way for Russo or the rest of the squad for most of this year.